Hello, cinephiles, and welcome to Indie Outlook, the show that sheds light on must-see cinema from the Windy City and around the globe. I'm your host, Matt Fagerholm of HollywoodChicago.com. My guests today are Steve Shields and Alec Pinkston, who are the co-creators of this show I cannot wait to see. It's called Sick Day, and it is a satire of morning television. And I'm the kind of person who ends up watching morning television in spite of my hatred of it. I feel like that's kind of what the majority of Americans are like. It's like, you know, it's we want to get up on the right foot, and yet we always just end up settling into that same routine of, well, I need noise on in the background. I need something to wake me up. So maybe it's just the annoyance of morning television that makes it so addictive. I don't know. But anyways, here they are. Thank you for being on the show. Tell me a little bit about the origins of this project.
Well, as you said, it's morning television's horrible.
And morning television serves 50-year-old soccer moms and pretty much nobody else.
Well, it's sort of, would you say that's the demographic? I'm trying to even nail down the demographic.
Unfortunately,
here.
That's not the only demographic. Morning television picks up a lot of demographics, and we want to take a big chunk out of that demographic because we feel like we have a more quality programming to offer in the morning, which is real comedy with real comedians. In a morning television show. It's not going to be Regis or, you know, Kathy Lee Gifford pretending they're funny or whoever.
I think the simplest way that I've broken it down to people is Sick Day is sort of like Daily Show meets Good Morning America. We took the structure of Good Morning America, but we followed, the Daily Show model of like, let's pull out the broadcast personalities and put in legitimately funny people parodying. But it's still real news and real sports and real weather and stuff like that. So
now, see, that's interesting because I think any sort of news segment that I can think of, the one that has the least amount of news is the morning news. Because it just seems like whatever network it is an advertisement for that. I can't remember which network it is, but it's like the one that has Dancing with the Stars on at night. They always have a recap on the morning show. I mean, it's really like 60% of it is just kind of, you know, an advertisement for itself. And so you're actually looking to get some real, like Daily Show-esque new, like you taking a headline and basically satirizing it.
What we think of Sick Day is the first reason in the history of the world to wake up in the morning. So we want this to be the type of show where even if you're not up in the morning to see the show, you're still going to DVR the show in the morning. You're going to watch the show later. It's not necessary to watch the show in the morning. I mean, clearly that's our goal, to have great television on in the morning, but
yeah, we don't care when you watch it.
Yeah, we don't care when you watch it. You're gonna watch it regardless. Your morning could be at 3 p.m. like mine usually is, and you'll still enjoy the show.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, I think one thing people automatically assume is like, oh, this is like The Onion where everything's fake, and you know, no, actually, we do have some characters and some parody in there, and there's some fake stories here and there. But at the end of the show, you still get real headlines, real sports, real weather. It's just not packaged and spread out over 4 hours of commercial plugs.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, I feel like so many people, especially my age, like in, you know, my mid-20s, get the majority of their news from sources like The Onion and The Daily Show because for some reason the satire makes the news more palatable or something. Yeah. So is that kind of a similar vibe you're going for on this?
I think in one regard, you know, what people like about The Daily Show, for example, is the fact that Jon Stewart is Jon Stewart. You know, he's not being some other version of himself. He's giving you the news as Jon Stewart would give you the news if you're having a conversation, or at least it feels that way. So we wanted to take, like, the schmooze broadcast factor off of morning television, which is, like, just, you know, every personality on morning television says maybe, like, one or two sentences an hour that feel genuine.
Yeah.
You know, so we really tried to, like, let's find people who are just great personalities and really funny people naturally and let them be their natural selves. And that's a very unnatural thing in the morning show genre right now.
Yes, definitely. Well, it's kind of funny the extent to which some of these people, like just from my own observations on like Good Morning America, for example, try to keep that pleasantry up so much. I mean, it's like, it's like they're paid by the laugh. It's sort of like even when nothing funny has happened, there's still kind of a mandatory laugh that ends each segment. It's almost chilling in a way. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you look at like morning radio, it was a similar scenario before like Howard Stern came in. It was like, you know, we don't all have to act the exact same way, and it was so different from your other options that even people that hated Howard Stern watched him just because it was different. And so we're trying to create something that is different in a really funny, entertaining way. So hopefully it works out.
Oh, totally. Well, what would it, have you used anything as like an inspiration for this, as far as like for, from like a, like the sketch comedy structure that you're working from, or is this kind of a hodgepodge of different influences?
Well, it all came together. It couldn't have come together without so many Chicago comedians, and we're both just huge fans of the Chicago comedy scene, and we've sort of been a part of it for years and years. And we just took our best, our favorite comedians in the city, and put them in front of the camera, and got gold.
We really, you know, the show would be nothing without the talent in the show. And at almost every level, you know, the wrong personality in this idea will kill it. You know, like you can't bring in somebody that you think is funny that is just not gonna like read with audiences and you know, convey the concept. And everybody we cast was like way better than we expected. You know, like we were like, we need a craft person. We need a medical person. We need a co-host. We need, you know, this and that. And it was, you know, we went in with this preconceived set of notions of they got to be this, this, and this. And the people we found not only embodied what we were looking for, but they took it to like a whole new level based on their individual comedic sensibility. And that really was like beautiful for us to see when we were filming it, to see these people take it to levels that we never even thought possible. And we've been, you know, to answer your original question, you know, where'd this show, the idea come from? We came up with this like 6 years ago.
Oh, no.
So you can imagine the course of 6 years, we've like destroyed and rebuilt this concept so many times.
Sure.
Around so many different people. And I've seen so many people that I think are really funny audition for certain parts of the show, especially the anchor stuff, and it just never felt right. And a lot of that was when I was in L.A., and we found, you know, people that had like some name and some, you know, some clout, and you know, you'd think they'd step right in and nail it, and they just, it didn't really click. And when we did it in Chicago, and we went to the people we already knew were really funny, and we're like, who are the people you think are really funny? And went to them and said, who are the people you think are funny? We put together all these lists, and finally we started getting the same names on the list, and just went to them one by one. It was like, here's what we're trying to do. You know, here's why we think it'll sell. Here's why we think you'll be great in it. Here's why we think it'll be fun to be in. And literally every single person was like, this is awesome. This is what Chicago needs. I'd love to be a part of it. And that was really, really, really exciting for us.
Well, I've talked to a number of filmmakers over the year. There's one in particular, Stephen Cohen, who I talked to last year. He did a wonderful film called The Wise Kids. Like half of that was like Chicago actors. And I'm just amazed the number of directors I've talked to who just look to Chicago's like the acting capital of the world. I mean, we just have such a massive pool of talent. And so how did you go about sort of like finding some of these comedians and some of these, who are a couple in particular, if you want to give a shout out to a few of the
Well, we've known Sherman. We've known Sherman Edwards for lots of years, and I think what you went to see him do a stand-up show. He hosted an open mic that I put on a couple years ago, so I know Sherman's hilarious.
If you follow the Chicago comedy scene, there's going to be a lot of familiar names for you. Sherman Edwards and Megan Gailey are our hosts, mm-hmm. and they are phenomenal. Phenomenal stand-ups, phenomenal on the show, really, truly funny people. Kenny DeForest, Mike Leibovitz, there's a lot of stand-up talent that we went to, and you know, we were basically, we didn't want to put them in a situation where it's like, here, just read this or just do this. We want to be like, what would you gravitate towards on a morning show, and how would you make that your own? And I think that's such a rare thing when you're acting or doing comedy, that you are given the trust to be funny in your way. And for instance, like The Weather with Mike Leibovitz, I think he was looking for a lot more direction than I wanted to give him, because I know he's a super funny guy, and so it's like, man, make it your own. Just really take it to the place that you want it to be. No matter how weird or like abnormal that seems, especially in the context of like a morning weatherman.
Yeah.
But you know, I think when you put the right people in the right places, like you really can't miss. And we had a great set where there was a ton of comedians who weren't on camera, who were sitting off camera, like giving, you know, some feedback, and it was a very open environment where nobody felt intimidated to like make a suggestion.
It ended up being super improvisational. As much as we had it structured, like a lot of it came together on the spot in ways that we couldn't even imagine it would have. And that's, I don't know, we all have sort of an improv background, a lot of us, and it was kind of nice that all came through.
There was literally only one copy of the script, and 80% of it was written in pencil, and I wouldn't show it to anybody except for the writers and creators. So, you know, we didn't really want to laden the actors with, like, here's this, like, huge structure of things you need to work within. We tried to keep it real loose, and you know, by the time we got to, like, the 10th, 11th takes, I mean, we were just in a place that we never predicted, and it was, you know, vastly funnier than the original version. And that's just a great – I feel like people just get super comfortable in that environment, and that's when you really find the funny that you never predicted could be there.
Oh, it's such a precarious balance when you're working with a script. You want to have strong writing. You want to have a good structure for these people to work with, mm-hmm. and yet you want it to be loose enough. And it seems like everyone has a different approach to that balancing act.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a 5-lane highway, and you're the only car on it. You know, yeah. I mean, we just need you to stay on the highway. There's like such a few amount of things that we need you to convey. But what you do, how fast you drive, and how erratic you get there is you know, based on your own you know, comedic talent. And I think really letting people play the characters as they saw best was probably the biggest strength of the show. And I think it really put people in a position where they felt like, wow, this is I can do whatever I want here. You know, I can play this any way I want to. And you really don't ever get a chance to do that, especially, you know, before you've made a certain level of fame. And I think people really responded to that.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, you mentioned the weather, and I'm just thinking there's like a number of ways, like just the weather segment on a show could be sent up. I mean, because I think of obviously Tom Skilling, who doesn't really report the weather. He teaches the weather. He's very professorial. He's like Dr. Bunsen Honeydew from the Muppets kind of thing. And then you have on the other spectrum, someone like Sam Champion, who's kind of just a big cartoon. Yeah. I think once he even said like wet rain will fall, something like wet. So he wanted to specify the texture,
liquid rain.
So how you sort of approach that particular?
Well, our weather segment actually went through several incarnations. You should give a summary of like.
Oh man. Well, I will say, you know, we sort of like looked at the weather and like, okay, what's everybody doing that's the same? And it's all like from the waist up, and it's this, and they're reporting on the same cities and stuff like that. And so we're like, well, you know, screw that. Let's go bigger.
Yeah.
So we zoomed it way out. So he's like literally walking around an entire like world map. We're reporting on not only like cities and states, but also like countries, continents, planets. Like the temperature is given for anything that could possibly be measured by current science.
Sure.
And, you know, instead of like just being waist up, you literally see it like 5 feet before his feet, where like he's like walking around a map of weather.
We were in New York, and we saw a local,
We were in New York right before Hurricane Sandy, so
oh, wow.
Was 2 days before. And the weather guy there, the way they had it set up was he was sort of towering over a blue screen Earth, and like he was.
Oh really?
He's like a weather god.
Yeah, he was weather god, like Atlas standing over planet Earth, and it was hilarious. So that was a little bit of inspiration for what to do with Leibovitz on the weather.
Yeah. Well, it's just such fertile ground for satire. And I'm thinking, like, I mean, so many of these morning shows, the primetime, you know, well, not primetime, but, you know, it's like the mainstream morning shows have, it's like a plug-a-thon. It's really just about coming on, plugging your product. Are you thinking of having, like, actual guests come in, play themselves, people from, like, local theater or films, or is it something like that, almost playing like a different heightened version of themselves? Or is it more like them just going in and entering like a Colbert universe where it's kind of heightened satire sort of thing?
We definitely have elements of that. We have a gossip girl who reports on gossip.
Sarah Ashley.
Yeah, Sarah Ashley.
Another essential addition for sure.
Yeah, the gossip.
every show has that.
You know, she made a great turn on it where it was like, not like reporting, yeah, everybody loves to report like, just the most useless facts about stars. So we just sort of made up some facts, you know, about like Julia Roberts has the ability to poop fresh strawberries and stuff like that. And like,
spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Yeah, oh, she okay, really yeah. Spoiler alert about Julia Roberts and the show. she really did a great job of taking to the next level of like celebrity worship. And like, you know, I think we talked a little bit about like, if Lindsay Lohan had eaten a baby, and like there'd be that certain segment of celebrity gossip reporters who would like stand up for her right to eat. You know, like yeah, there's just like
they're just proud that she ate.
Yeah. Oh, they're God. Just proud that they yeah, that she ate and they know the scoop. I mean, like, she took it to a next level of like hero worship with celebrities doing like horrible things that, you know, people still find somehow inspiring.
Well, that is completely on target, because that just reminded me of something I saw in Good Morning America that I couldn't believe, because it's not only funny how they talk about the celebrities, but really their attitudes toward them, like how they kind of smooth over tension. They had Chris Brown on Good Morning America once, and whoever it was interviewing him asked him about, like, you know, some of his struggles, some of the abuse in his past, things like that. And he apparently got so angry, he stormed out of the room and threw his chair through, like, the little, like, room that they gave him, and then just, like, stormed out of the newsroom. And the newscasters ended up apologizing to him. And they're having to apologize to him because it's, you know, powerful Chris Brown. We got to smooth it out. I just thought that was so funny. I was like, this could work in, like, a mockumentary type
thing. We had the same thing happen with Arslan, except he blew up a bomb in the bathroom.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
We were shooting.
Oh geez, but
yeah, the whole you know, we really kept kind of the main anchors as sort of the straight men, because a lot of the lifestyle segments are more characters and parodies of what you're gonna see. But we did have a lot of fun with plugging fake sponsors. I mean, there's one thing that you know you mentioned in morning television, like they really go crazy plugging sponsors, like, oh, here's our gadget segment. Which is really just a plug for these three gadgets that you don't need at all. You know, it was like just the most worthless. I can't think of what. God, there was some product that. Well, in researching this show, we've watched every morning show out there. And there's so many moments when you're watching those, especially like in the context of, like, you know, we're watching this and we're going to write a parody of it. And the truth is so much funnier than the parody can be sometimes, because like, you know, like with Sick Day, like, oh, you know, they planned this to be funny. But with like the Today Show, they're taking themselves seriously. And it's this ridiculous. Like it's almost hard to compete, because some of the stuff that they do is so naturally ridiculous that we can't, like, you know, we can't convince the audience that we're, you know, mm-hmm. trying to be like them necessarily.
Sometimes if you just do like a sardonic imitation of it, I'm thinking of like Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin, where she barely changed what she said in like some of those SNL skits.
Yeah,
and it was
exactly.
just hilarious the way that she kind of presented it.
Exactly. So we definitely have a few, like the Hollywood Gossip Reporter, like she plays it just like you would see, you know, like her character feels very similar to a character you see on the Today Show, but we just, you know, we don't piss off Chris Brown, I guess.
Sure. Exactly. You probably want to avoid having him on. But I want to ask just a little bit about this teaser that I've seen online for Sick Day. It's just a killer teaser, because it's all done in one shot, and I assume it kind of like scans through like the whole ensemble, everyone you kind of have gathered for the show. I think I even saw Steve in there. I'm not sure if you were in. I'll have to watch it again, but I saw Steve
in the fake band.
Oh, in the fake band. That's right. Tell me about how you kind of conceived this, and tell me a little bit about the set too, like where you guys are shooting.
Well, go ahead.
Scott Thompson has been a friend of mine for about 9 years, and he makes music on his computer and makes really killer music. So he's been a part of our sketch group, Lakewood Manor Players, as well for the last few years. And there was just no question about it. We were going with Scott for the music for the show, and we decided to put a morning show band in the show to go with it. Mm. And we thought about getting a real band, but we settled on just for now, just putting our sketch comedy group in as the band, so we all have a little cameo.
We wanted that like Paul Schaefer sort of character.
Yes,
for the morning. We wanted like the attitude, and like the music really gives it like a good like tempo to the show. But you know, that teaser, it's funny you mentioned, like, you know, that's the bulk of our cast, and we had 35 people in the cast. We filmed almost like any segment that you would ever see on the Today Show, we filmed a version of it. And you know, so we've got such a huge, deep vault of material now, because we had so many talented people that wanted to be a part of it. That was like, I can't say no to any of these people, because I want to see what they do with it.
Sure.
So, yeah, the teaser shows the two hosts, our announcer, Gregory Holloman, who was on Strangers with Candy.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And he is just hilarious. He did the plugs for the fake products, and like sitting there feeding him these fake products to do a plug for, and his like unbelievable like voiceover talent voice was something I could have sat there and done for like 5 days consecutive. I mean, it was just too
I couldn't
funny.
Be in the room for it. I had to leave because I was dying listening to him read jokes that I wrote 8 years ago.
The ridiculous. But yeah, the teaser itself sort of takes us into the environment, and it's sort of like a Olin Mills 70s kind of feel. We wanted it to feel like the show feels like it's shot live, because we've programmed in a lot of like errors in the broadcasting. So we've got a great feel to it, where you think like this has a live feel, but it has a live feel that it's being shot really poorly.
Sure.
So like our stage manager, Chip Pitbull, who was played beautifully by Tom Kretler, is sort of like the straight man for the whole thing. And every time you see him, it's like a camera error. The camera's on the wrong spot. And
nice.
We do several times where we, like, the camera pans all the way offset into, like, the crowd and the crew. And, like, you know, we try to make it feel like it was shot by a really, like, public access sort of crew that didn't really have a lot of interest in nailing it.
Oh, public access has some of the funniest shows on,
on
television.
It's actually,
sure.
That's where the idea first came from.
Really, really.
Like, 6 years ago, Steve and I, when he graduated from Columbia and we no longer had a source of free equipment to shoot our sketches.
It was before I graduated.
Oh.
That was before I got access to the equipment at Columbia.
We were looking for cheap equipment, basically.
Sure, yeah.
We were on the hunt for cheap equipment, and that delivered us to public access where you take a series of classes before they let you get on camera. And one of the classes, they sort of like, you know, here's a four-year production degree in 90 minutes where they try and teach you, like, the very basics, like, if you're going to have a show, your show has to be about something, which sort of like weans out half the crowd that walks into a public access station already.
Sure.
Like, oh, man, I don't know. I think a lot of people walk in there thinking, like, I'm going to walk in, walk straight on stage, sit in a chair, and be on TV, like, by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so public access has these classes to sort of, like, wean out people who are never going to put in the effort to really execute this. So,
oh, totally, yeah.
In that class, they're like, we want you to come up with an idea for a show. And, you know, Steve and I sort of went last, and they go all the way around the table, and everybody's giving their pitches, and they're really low energy and these just ridiculous ideas. I was like, man, it would be a lot more fun if we just put on a show where we gave these people their, like, you know, the morning part sort of came in as a hybrid, but it was like, boy, well, let's just do a public access show where all these people who have these ridiculous ideas, they're never going to see them through to make it on public access. We'll just produce it and let them live that dream of just
awesome.
Walking on stage and just
sure.
being their crazy selves for their, like, five-minute segment.
Yeah.
Then we started sort of rolling that into the morning show and, like, well, wouldn't it be funnier to see the crazy guy on the bus do the weather than, like, a real weatherman? Because all you're doing is reading numbers. I mean, anybody
yeah.
can find out everything that a meteorologist knows in one website. So we pitched the idea to the public access class, and they loved it. And then we slowly started to figure out, like, well, that's a great idea, taking the structure of a morning show and replacing it. But instead of replacing it with super untalented people off the street, let's replace it with super talented people, comedians and improvisers. And,
and you could still keep that same
formula.
Premise, though, too.
Yeah.
It's like it can still kind of sustain itself. But
mm.
no, it sounds fabulous. I really can't wait to see it. What is sort of your distribution plans as far as, like, is it starting out online, or how are you sort of planning to
get
this out there?
We're going to build the public into a frenzy where they demand it from their local politicians, sort of like a 99% kind of movement,
sure.
like Occupy kind of thing. We want people to just be like... We want people to see normal morning television as, like, the tyrannical empire that exists now and, like, demand sick day as a fresh taste. No, we
it'll be online at some point. We'll finish it up, and we have a long way to go still.
Some
months.
We're going to cut a full pilot, and we're going to release a whole series of teasers on the Sick Day Facebook page and Twitter, and just sort of slowly leak it out as we're sculpting a presentation to start bringing to, like, you know, Comedy Central is the obvious... like destination hope for us, but IFC, even like TBS, G4, MTV2. I think this is such an amazing time for television right now, and webisodes, web series as well. So I feel like Sick Day will find a home, because once people sort of get the feel for what we're trying to do, it's going to feel fresh, and somebody's going to want to jump on that, or we've just wasted the last 6 years.
No. I mean, every project has its own trajectory, and I think webisodes is a perfect place for something like this to start too, just to at least build that online momentum or something like
that.
Yeah,
I think we'd like to sort of maybe start a version where, you know, today's show's on for 4 hours, and that's just like sort of outrageous. And we thought, like, well, you know, if you could watch like a 10-minute. Webisode on your way to work and get all the information and be entertained, then it's like a little easy to swallow, actually good tasting pill versus like the 4-hour chemotherapy treatment that is, you know, the Today Show.
Sure.
The pilot that we shot is just scratching the surface of what we could possibly do with this idea. I mean, clearly the goal is to sell it to a TV show or get it put on a network, cable or otherwise. But if that doesn't work out, there's so many other avenues that we could take, like you're saying, webisodes or web series. There's a lot we could do. So if nothing happens immediately, it's not like we're just going to throw in the towel. We'll figure out something to do with this thing because it has to get out there.
It's like we built a car, and I'll be damned if I'm not going to drive it. No matter how far we do go or who sees it, like we've made something that everybody that was there really liked and we're really proud of. And, you know, one way or another, Sick Day will be on some, you know, if it's as popular as our Lakewood Manor Players videos, then we can expect 2,000 hits over the next 10 years.
Quick plug here, too, for Odd Machine Studios and everyone involved with the production that donated their time. The reason that we will have these options down the road is because so many people volunteer their time and equipment and everything for the show that we actually didn't have to go into debt or anything to produce this pilot like a lot of people do. So we'll have a little extra money down the road to keep doing things with this, which is really, really cool because a lot of people wouldn't have that opportunity. So thank you to everybody
that
helped with the production.
It really, we really literally, like, every single person I know that could do me any favor whatsoever between the months of, like, September and November got a call from me at some point or another, whether it was for, like, lighting equipment or like a keyboard or, you know, borrow a chair. I mean, like,
we're down to like borrowing an Xbox headset.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
Like, wow. Like, we had just everything,
anything I could possibly think of. We tried to find a way to get it for free. And it's really, we knew we had something when so many people volunteered their time, and we had an amazing crew of people who are super experienced in the industry and get paid extremely well for what they do on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, like Columbia College students and recent grads who, like, are looking to kind of get more experience. And it was a really fun set because everybody felt like they were part of something special. And there's nothing worse in the world than working for free and feel like you're working for, A, someone who doesn't appreciate your time, and B, a project that you don't even find the least bit entertaining or amusing. So
absolutely,
we try to stay extremely, extremely grateful to all the people who made this show possible and feed them well. And fortunately, the comedians made it a very, very fun set to be a part of. So people that were initially like, yeah, I can help you out for a few hours, ended up being there like all day, every day, and just, you know, really had a great time shooting it.
No one wanted to leave.
And that's the best part, when you can really stir up that passion with a large group of people and people who are really passionate about the collaboration.
Yeah,
you know,
and
really
I think
getting that in there.
They definitely felt like, you know, this was something different. And I don't think anybody had worked on a set where they were like, well, this is just another, you know, comedic morning show pilot. You know, like,
yeah. I don't think anyone had any idea what was going to happen this week, that weekend. And
we kept people in the dark sort of to the last minute. And, you know, once we had the set up and built, the look on people's faces as they walked in the door was like, oh, man, this is for real. Because, you know, everybody who's been in acting or comedy has volunteered their time and shown up to somebody's house on an afternoon, and there's like a bag of chips and a pizza in the corner. And it's like, okay, let's spend 12 hours making something that is not funny at all. And, like, we've been those guys, and it's nice to no longer be those guys. So I think what people heard us talk a big game, and then when they walked in and saw, like, the lighting job and the set and the art direction and the crew and the other cast members, they're like, oh, wow, this is
this
is going to be good.
How about, like, day two of building the set when Gailey was there, and I said, now, the set isn't going to change much from it, as how it is right now, and it wasn't nearly finished.
It was like
she just said, oh, okay.
You always want to be, like, polite and be like, yeah, well, all it is blank balls and a couch. But, yeah, the art direction was really, really fun. We wanted to make it feel just we wanted to just give it a feel like no other set. And it just has like a, you know, we brought in, there's like some weird, like sort of kind of like Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of things. Like we've got little, like a puppet bird that comes out in the opening.
Nice.
That you kind of see in that teaser.
Yeah.
And like, we tried to give it like, you know, really, there was no bad idea. Like, we just tried to, like...
Well, you know, and that, just for me to interject for a second, that is really the best environment to build, really, yeah. You know, resonant ideas when you can have that just sort of like the building and creation. I just saw a documentary at the Siskel Center called Beauty is Embarrassing about the guy who played Randy, who was also like the set designer on Pee-wee and stuff. And like the first season of that, they were just in some like New York studio, like way low budget stuff. And that's really where, if you just had like a, just the usual way a TV show is created in Hollywood, just sort of like a conference room and everyone's, it's so much different from being in that environment to something much more volatile and interesting.
Well, it's nice too. It's like, you know, obviously everybody that we had involved, we already think is like super, super funny. So I think we went in, it's like, okay, everybody that's here in this room that's cast on this show, we think you're super, super talented. And we want to hear every suggestion that you possibly have that you think will make this show better. That being said, not everyone's going to make it to the final cut. Don't take, you know, don't be offended if like you make a suggestion doesn't happen. And so once we got, once we sort of cleared the air, like to start the day with like, I don't want you to hold back on any suggestions. But, you know, not everyone, not every single one of them is going to make the final cut. I think people felt like real comfortable. It's like, okay, great. You know, you just got to get that out of the way. Like there's, you want an environment where people aren't afraid to make suggestions, but you want an environment where you're also your hardest critic and you edit into like what you think is going to be the very funniest version of that show. And so you can kind of, it can kind of get tough where it's like, yeah, we want to hear everything, but we really want to do like the three funniest things. But if you, I think when you start out the day where you're like, listen, everybody's super talented, say as much as you want, and you know, we'll get, we'll take the best stuff in the final cut, you know, I think then people felt like, okay, great, that's, this is that sort of environment.
Definitely, definitely. Well, thank you both for being here, really. I really appreciate it, and I really want people to check out this teaser and keep updated on this project. It just sounds wonderful. The official Sick Day Facebook page, you can just put Sick Day in your search engine, find that in Facebook, and also follow on Twitter. It's at Sick Day Chicago. You can get that as well.
Yeah,
for
we want to really give the Chicago comedy scene the spotlight that it deserves, and hopefully someday all our best comics won't have to move to LA or New York to get that next level. We're hoping to kind of create that path for them here if possible.
Excellent, very cool. Steve, I think you had something else you wanted to.
That's all I was saying. I'm sick of seeing comedians move to the coast, and it sucks. And hopefully this is a reason for people to stick around, and hopefully we can make this happen.
Awesome. Awesome, yeah. Well, I mean, we have such fertile ground, so many great improv places, so many great talent. So I really think this is an awesome project. So
thanks so much.
I wish you guys the best. So definitely check that out. Keep yourself updated at Sick Day Chicago on Twitter and on their official Facebook page. And for all my recent reviews and interviews, you can check out HollywoodChicago.com and Indie-Outlook.com.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
That concludes today's episode of Indie Outlook. I'm your host, Matt Fagerholm, and I invite you to tune in next time for more coverage of the latest and greatest in modern independent cinema. Till then, I'll be on the lookout.